morning, everyone. Welcome to AMP's 2018 half-year results. I'm Lachlan Johnston, Director of Communications at AMP, and I'm joined this morning by Mike Wilkins, our Acting Chief Executive, and Gordon Lefebvre, our CFO. Mike will provide a summary of the 2018 half-year results, then both Mike and Gordon will be available for questions. If we can ask you to please register for questions as per the moderator's instructions. You can register to ask a question at any time during the conference. The moderator will let you know when it's your turn. We'd also ask that you avoid using a speakerphone so your question can be heard clearly. Thank you very much, and Mike, I'll hand over to you.
Well, thanks, Lachlan, and good morning, everyone. You'll have all seen our results, which we announced earlier this morning, but we also gave a relatively comprehensive update to the market about 10 days ago on the major items that have impacted that result. But for me, today's result underlines two key points about AMP. One is the resilience of our core businesses, which all delivered earnings growth, and the second is that we're committed to resetting this business. We'll start with a high-level summary of the first half of 2018. As I said, it's been a resilient first half performance, particularly given the events of recent months around the Royal Commission, as well as challenges within our wealth protection business. Underlying profit for the half year was $495 million, and net profit was $115 million, obviously impacted by the provision that we took for advice remediation. We delivered a strong performance on controllable costs, which are down about 4%, and we're on track to at least achieve the controllable cost guidance we set out for the full year, 2018 of $950 million. On capital and dividends, we've maintained surplus capital of $1.8 billion above minimum regulatory requirements, and that figure takes into account the provision that we announced to reset our business. We said this morning that we intend to take a conservative position on capital over the coming months to allow us to retain maximum flexibility. And in that vein, we've announced an interim dividend of $0.10, franked to 50%. We're targeting a total full-year dividend, that's the interim dividend plus the final dividend, that will be within our 70%-90% payout range, although we expect it to be at the lower end of that range. I'll now briefly go through the performance of our business units, and starting with Australian Wealth Management. Overall, we delivered a resilient performance in challenging circumstances. Operating earnings were up 5.7%, with a good cost performance and an improvement in our other revenue line, more than offsetting margin compression. We reduced controllable costs by $23 million through efficiency initiatives that we started in 2017, and that carried through into the first half. Other revenue, which is made up of revenues from our advice and SMSF businesses, was up 12% on the first half of 2017. On wealth management cash flows, we had a net cash outflow of $873 million for the half. Overall, it was a more subdued half, especially when compared with the elevated cash flows that we saw in the first half of 2017. And in line with previous periods, our net flows include about $1.2 billion of pension payments. This half, corporate super flows were quieter, with no major mandate wins and a few small account losses. Cash inflows were also subdued, as we believe many members made a larger contribution last year before the changes to superannuation legislation. We did see signs of some impact on flows later in the half from the Royal Commission hearings. While withdrawals rose in the immediate aftermath of the financial advice hearings, these have since settled to a certain extent. And finally, in terms of platforms, North again showed its strength with an increase in applications, although slightly lower volumes as members made lower contributions. Turning now to AMP Capital, and a solid first half performance overall, with operating earnings up 2.2% on strong external assets under management. Higher costs reflect ongoing investment in our growth activities, especially in our real estate and infrastructure businesses. Real assets continue to perform strongly, driving a strong increase in fee income. We continue to grow our international client base as well. AMP Capital now has 295 direct international institutional clients for whom we manage over $14 billion. And our overall assets under management increased $1.5 billion in the half to just short of $190 billion. In terms of cash flows, we achieved $1.6 billion of external cash flow in the half, and external assets under management grew by $4.6 billion. We invested $1.5 billion of our committed funds on real asset investments in the half, including investing in a stake in London's Luton Airport. And at 30th of June, we had a further $5.2 billion of uncalled committed capital ready for investment. In China, our joint venture, China Life AMP Asset Management, continues to grow, launching 12 new products in the half and continuing to grow assets under management. We're also growing our pensions joint venture, China Life Pension Company. During the half, CLPC was selected as a trustee manager at each of the three occupational pension plans that have been tendered thus far by the Chinese government. We've been anticipating these occupational pension tenders for some time, and it's now starting to happen, and we expect that there's going to be more of these in the second half. Turning now to AMP Bank, and it was a pretty good half. For the half, we reported 20% operating earnings growth, loan growth above system, and a slight decrease in our cost-to-income ratio. Operating earnings were driven by good residential mortgage growth, although the mortgage market has been and remains very competitive. Net interest margin was slightly down on the second half of 2017 at 1.72% as we continued to respond to market competition in lending and as funding costs tightened. In terms of capital, we've been strengthening the bank's capital position to support its growth and to meet changing regulatory requirements. And now on to wealth protection. As indicated at our market update, it's been a challenging half year, but we're not alone in this. The competition in the industry is intense, particularly in terms of pricing. We also paid out $597 million in claims to our Australian insurance customers. At AMP, our profit margins were reduced by the reinsurance arrangements we put in place last year, although ended ahead of guidance due to lower controllable costs. As we flagged 10 days ago, however, earnings have been heavily impacted by higher than expected claims activity, which shows up as experience losses in our accounts. We also had a one-off experience loss of $20 million after we strengthened our reserves for a large group plan, which we indicated earlier this year is moving to a new provider. The deterioration in claims experience relates primarily to total and permanent disability, or TPD, insurance. We've also strengthened our best estimate assumptions for TPD. And while reinsurance has reduced our overall risk, in this half there were a large number of claims that related to the conditions and injuries that occurred before we put the reinsurance in place. And finally, to New Zealand and Mature, and again, both of these businesses reported pretty solid performances. Profit margins in New Zealand were slightly lower, with Mature and Wealth Protection, or insurance, profits down, but we saw good profit share from general insurance as well as lower controllable costs. And while operating earnings were lower this half, our New Zealand business is a very consistent performer. And in Mature, it's been a similarly consistent performance, and as we've said many times, this business is in runoff and the performance in the half is in line with our guidance. Before we go to Q&A, I wanted to touch on our immediate priorities for the business. And during the second half, we're focused specifically on customers and restoring confidence in AMP. We want to show our customers how they remain at the centre of the reset of our business and our initiatives to accelerate advice remediation and reduce fees on our MySuper products, benefiting some 700,000 existing customers as well as new customers, are two key proof points on that front. We're also driving forward with the transformation of our advice business, including accelerating remediation. Advice remains a cornerstone of AMP, and despite the heavy criticism it's taken, it's vital to enabling Australians to plan for their financial lives, particularly for retirement. The reshaping of our advice network is in progress, with focus on productivity as well as professionalism and compliance. We've reprioritised the portfolio review of our Manage for Value businesses as we announced in the market update about 10 days ago, and we're in active discussions with interested parties on a range of options, which we look forward to sharing with you when we've made further progress. We're investing $35 million post-tax per year for the next 2 years in further strengthening our risk management and controls, and we're maintaining our business momentum, particularly the growth in the bank and AMP Capital, as well as ensuring the competitiveness of our Australian wealth management business. So in summary, overall, a very solid first half in the face of some market and corporate challenges, a resilient performance in Australian wealth management. The growth trajectory is continuing at AMP Bank, and a period of investment, but continuing strong growth in real assets business at AMP Capital. Some experience challenges for our Australian wealth protection business, and New Zealand and Mature performing very much in line with our expectations. We've maintained a comfortable capital surplus above minimum requirements, and we're being prudent with capital over the coming months to provide us with strategic flexibility. However, we're committed to a full-year dividend at the lower end of our target range. And finally, we've got a clear focus on the second half to continue the momentum of the business. So on that note, let's now move to Q&A.
Thank you. First question comes from George Smallmarkus from Fairfax Media. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes, hi, Mike. Sorry, it would help if I went off mute. Yes, no, I just wanted to ask you about grandfathered commissions. I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of debate in the market of late around what happens there. I'm wondering whether you've given thought to following Macquarie and BT and removing them, and also whether you can give us some colour around any advisor attrition that we've seen over the period.
So, Joyce, on grandfathered commission, my understanding is that the companies that you mentioned have dealt with grandfathering for their employed advisors. AMP has not paid grandfathered commissions to its employed advisors since 2014, so I think we're kind of in line with all of that. For the aligned advisor network, it's a different position, and I think that some of the debate that's been held at the moment needs to be fleshed out a little bit more in terms of some of the circumstances that sit behind those grandfathered commissions. However, we continue to watch the developments that are occurring in the market, and we'll respond as we see the need to do so. Sorry.
There's no need at the moment from what you've said for the aligned advisor network.
Sorry?
No need at the moment from what you've said. Something that you're continuing to...
Yeah, look, we'll continue to watch. There's some wider issues that go with that around... arrangements that were put in place around commissions at the time some of these products were sold, because they are, generally speaking, older products. And I think the second part of your question was advisor attrition. We added about 143 new advisors during the half year. However, we also saw some leaving the industry and some consolidation on that front, partially driven by, I think, the drive for the sector to look at scale and to look at both productivity and professionalism. So net-net, we're happy with how that went. And as I said, we were very pleased to see 143 new advisors joining the AMP network. And I think that just shows the future that advice has. And I mentioned during my earlier comments the importance that we place on advice, not just for AMP, but the importance that we place on advice for Australians more generally.
And the number you gave, the 143, that's net, isn't it?
No, that's the gross number coming. That's the gross number coming in. There's 143 new people coming in, but obviously there were some going. Most of those going were actually retiring.
So what's the net number? Is it a net attrition or?
I don't have that to hand.
That's okay.
We'll get back to you on it
later. Thanks again.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Andrew White from the Australian newspaper. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Mike. Thanks for your time. A couple of questions, and one just to follow up on the advisor. Last year, I think the company announced a plan to increase its buyer of last resort capability. I'm wondering how much of that's been exercised and how many people have joined as a result of that.
Andrew, in terms of Bowler, it was a similar half for us to what we'd seen previously. And probably a little subdued on what we expect to see in the second half of this year, but nothing out of the ordinary in terms of those advisors who've been retiring and who have been exercising Bowler for us.
Okay. And any of those people that are coming aboard, are there any special provisions in there in terms of your liability or theirs for fee-for-service breaches that you provided for?
Well, I think we talked about the importance of professionalism, and obviously that's a factor for our network. The issues that you're referring to are, in the main, historic in nature. However, those joining us are coming in on the same arrangements that those in our network already have.
So that's to say you're increasing your liability for those things, is that right?
Well, if they come into one of our licences, we are clearly responsible. However, there is also provision that those who individually are representatives also need to take some responsibility, and that's no different to the current position that our advisor network has today.
Okay. Right. Just on the... you mentioned in the result that there'd been some impact on flows in the wealth management business from the Royal Commission hearings. You said that's subsided now. We're about to enter a new phase of this. Are you expecting more impact from this?
Well, we talked
impact on the wealth management business as a result.
Well, we talked about what the net flow was. There was some pickup in withdrawals towards the end of the second half. As I said, that's now eased to a certain extent. We're continuing to monitor those. But apart from that, very difficult to make any other comment, really. That's just the situation as it is.
Yeah. And just can I get your thoughts, too, on the new powers that the government has given to, or new funding, rather, that the government has given to ASIC to embed people within the business? What when do you expect to see that, and what sort of impact do you think that's going to have on the way things are run within ASIC?
Well, Andrew, I know only what I've read in the government's press release yesterday and what I've read in the press yesterday and today. Although I did have a very short phone conversation with James Shipton yesterday where we agreed we would try to catch up over the course of the next few days or weeks so that he could better explain what he was looking for there and I could better understand it. But that's the sum total of my knowledge to date.
Okay. The you've also announced your pay arrangements for AMP that carries you to the end of December. Is that to say we're still a way off in seeing a permanent replacement appointed as CEO?
No, the CEO search is continuing and it's progressing well. We just felt the need to, having finalised it, to put my arrangements in the market, but the 31st of December is just a date because, as you'll see, there are provisions that that can move either way, depending on when a CEO is recruited.
Yeah. How long do you think it will be, though?
Well, I don't know. As I said, it's progressing well. It's something that has been overseen by the board and, in particular, by the chairman. There's nothing other than that I can say other than that it continues to progress well.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Sarah Denkert from Fairfax Media. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mike. I was just wondering, the chairman of the company gave quite a detailed interview to the Australian Financial Review the other week, shortly after you announced your impairments, and he said that the ASX corporate governance principles contributed to what happened to AMP and others in the financial sector. I just wanted to know whether you agreed with Mr. Murray's views on that ASX governance principles contributed to the situation that AMP currently finds itself in.
Well, Sarah, I think David was speaking more widely than particularly just talking about the ASX corporate governance issues, and I think he was saying that organisations may have lost some sight of the important fundamentals. Certainly, at AMP, we are looking to rebuild the board, and that will involve some changes in our governance processes. David's leading that and is very supportive of ensuring that we have strong governance in the organisation.
Is there an argument that under the previous chairman there were too many reviews, almost with respect to a panicked review process, this review as problems popped up, rather than taking an overarching look at the problems within the company?
Well, look, I think that you deal with the circumstances as you have in front of you at the time, and certainly as an organisation we've wanted to understand where we've been deficient and where we can do better. So some of those reviews have helped us to do that. I think most of those have now come to a conclusion, and as we mentioned 10 days ago and reiterated again today, we're looking to the future and we've announced what the key things that we're going to be focused on, certainly in the next 6 months as we head into that future.
Speaking about reviews and looking to the future, I'm just going to look back to the past a bit. With April 20, 2018, under Ms. Brenner's leadership, AMP put out a release that referenced an immediate comprehensive review of AMP's regulatory reporting and governance processes will be undertaken, and the work will be overseen by a retired judge. The other week when we spoke, Mike, you'd said that AMP had spoken to some people. Given it was described as immediate, is AMP still, but there's also been a change of chairman, is AMP still going to do this review under the auspices of a judge, retired judge?
Well, Sarah, firstly, I think we talked about a retired judge or similarly eminent person. As we mentioned 10 days ago, we are investing significantly in terms of our risk compliance and governance systems. At the appropriate time, we will be getting an oversight of those. I think it's the importance of how we look forward rather than necessarily looking back.
And I guess a simple question in a way. In the report, it mentions that customer remediation review will be conducted within a reasonable time frame on which current estimates is 3 years. Can you just take us through? I think in terms of the regular punter, 3 years seems like a long time. Probably not in the financial institution sense. Could you take us through why it will take 3 years, just so our readers can understand?
Well, I think that this is essentially looking back to 2008, when in particular legislation, but also some of the documentary requirements under that legislation were very, very different. So we need to actually be able to go back. It involves both those advisors who are still active as well as those advisors who are inactive. And that covers a significant number and a significant number of clients. So we think looking back across all of that for a period of 10 years and being able to achieve that in 3 years is a pretty reasonable effort.
Thanks for that, Mike.
Your next question comes from Ross Greenwood from Channel 9. Please go ahead.
Hey, Mike, good morning to you. Just wanted to take you through some of the contingent liabilities that you've put aside. Now, clearly there's been already the $460 million for advice remediation, but in the contingent liability section, you do indicate that this is still the subject of variability. The outcomes could still be significant. Does this mean that you're at the high side of these contingent liabilities, or this is just the best judgment you've got at this stage?
Yeah, hi Ross. Look, it's our best estimate at this stage. As I just explained to Sarah, this is quite a comprehensive piece of work that we're undertaking, and we just felt that it was important to indicate in the contingent liability note that there was some potential for variability in this. Really, we'll know what the actual outcome is when the last customer is remediated, and that's in about 3 years' time.
You also said that, you know, it is a best judgment based on what metrics you've got. Can you take us through some of the ideas to how you try and, you know, sort of work out how many customers, the time frame, as you say, goes back to 2008, just how you try and come up with that number of $460 million?
Well, Ross, it's based on some sampling of customer files that we've already been able to look back on, and to a certain extent, it's risk based as well in terms of product and activity. So it's been based on that extrapolation, but as we begin to get through more and more files, we'll be able to refine this more and more. And we have said that we'll report our progress against this remediation on a six-monthly basis.
And given the fact that there is action being taken against the AMP by ASIC over this very matter, is this something of an admission by the AMP that it provided a lack of service and yet charge fees to those customers, which clearly you have to go through in regards to the AMP, to ASIC and its actions?
So, Ross, I think the action that you're referring to by ASIC relates to some insurance rewriting activity, which is totally separate to the arrangements that we're talking about here in terms of the contingent liability note. That action relates to the period in and around 2013 and covers, I think, six advisors where some insurance products were rewritten. AMP's in the process of remediating those customers or putting them in the in a similar position to what they would have been in had that insurance not been rewritten. That's the action that that we've referred to, and that's the action and the only action that I'm aware of that ASIC has taken thus far.
Great stuff. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jennifer Hewitt from the Australian Financial Review. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. You talked about a debate about aligned advisors and turning off commissions that need to be fleshed out. Are you suggesting that the change claimed is not nearly as significant as possible as it could be? And also, do you think legislative change is required to make a real difference to aligned advisors, the position of aligned advisors and commissions?
Yeah. Jennifer, from an AMP point of view, grandfathered commissions are only about 20% of the overall commission base for our advisors, and that's declining as older advisors leave the industry. So as new advisors come in, as new clients are written, grandfathered commissions will continue to decline over time. And as I mentioned earlier, there are certain circumstances around some of the historic products that are written does justify the continuation of grandfathered commissions. But over time, we expect that it will be totally phased out.
You talked about 20% of the base, but what about in terms of profit?
Well, it's 20% of the overall base commission that is paid to our advisors, and represents no more than that in terms of the contribution of the advice business.
Okay. And the BLOR, you said that they've been actually fairly subdued, but you're expecting more activity in that front in the second half of that year. Can you kind of quantify that in any way? I mean, obviously that's predictable, but are you expecting it to jump?
Not appreciably. We just called out that we did expect that there might be some additions in that front, and that's part of the drive also, or maybe as a consequence of the drive that we've got towards consolidation in some parts of the advisor network, where we think that's a sensible thing to do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Malavika Santhabana from Benchmark Media. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I was just wondering how the Super Contest business has contributed to the overall AMP result and what else lies in the pipeline for that business.
So Super Concepts is still a growing business for us. We added about 7,500 funds for either advice or administration over the course of the last 6 months, so it continues to grow for us. And we see that that whole SMSF platform as being an important long-term contributor for AMP. Currently, it's a relatively small component of our wealth management business, but as I said, over time, we do expect that it will continue to grow.
How much does it comprise at the moment when you say a small component?
I don't have a percentage that I can give to you for that, but it's a relatively small component given the larger component is the more traditional wealth management business, including a large number of corporate superannuation funds.
Sure. And what lies in the pipeline ahead, considering the needs of accountants and advisors with things like PBAR and super reforms and so on?
Well, we see that having a facility such as Super Concepts allows us to actually service the needs of those accountants and others. We think that the service that we have is a good service. It's well priced. So we would expect that Super Concepts will continue to grow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Brett Foley from Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I just wondered, I think the question's been asked already, but you described the withdrawals as easing. Could you give us some idea of how you see that playing out, in the second half?
Well, I guess, Brett, what I called out was that we saw a lift in withdrawals towards the end of the second quarter, and we think that was related to the Royal Commission. We've seen that that's now eased, and we're monitoring what's happening and the activity through our call centres, because I think that's probably the best indicator of what's likely to happen, and those number of calls have actually scaled back. But we continue to watch that, but I can't give you a figure for what the second half will be. But obviously we'll continue to also see inflows. And as I mentioned during my discussion, that net cash flow position that we talked about does include $1.2 billion of pension payments, which we make every 6 months.
Okay, and just quickly, the review of businesses. Can you give us? I know you said you're in active discussions with a number of interested parties. I think that's what you said previously. Is there any way you can sort of give any indication on across those businesses that are being managed for value, which are more progressed than others, and where we might see an outcome?
Well, we did slow that process down, and I said that we were going to do that at the time of our AGM because we wanted to concentrate firstly on stabilising the business, then on beginning the board renewal process, and also commencing the search for a new chief executive. I think that the business has stabilised. We have begun the board renewal process, and as I said earlier, we're well progressed on the search for a new chief executive. So we thought that this was time now to reinvigorate the review of the managed for value businesses. We are talking to some interested parties about those businesses, and just to be clear, those businesses are our Australian Wealth Protection business, the Mature business, and our New Zealand business, and we're looking at at all the opportunities that are there. We want to give those businesses certainty as quickly as we can, but also we want to make sure that we do the right thing by all parties, not just our shareholders, but our customers and the people who are in those businesses. So we'll take the right amount of time to reach the right conclusion.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Una Reedy from Information. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mike. Just wondering, Transurban mentioned yesterday that they acquired an 8.2% stake in the M5 from an undisclosed buyer. Just wondering, was the seller AMP Capital? Was that AMP Capital's stake?
Una, I can't comment on that because I literally don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I might follow it up with Catherine.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up from Joyce Malarkis from Fairfax Media. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, Mike. Sorry, I think Brett touched on my question, but can you give a little bit more detail around this strategic review? And I think the words you used today were that it's accelerating again. Does it include all options? I mean, spin-off, sale? I mean, we've already seen reinsurance within the wealth protection business. Can you just talk a little bit around the various options that are being looked at and also around any sort of time frame for conclusion? Because obviously these processes started well before you were acting CEO and have been going on for some time. So any, you know, buyers that are looking for certainty around a process happening may be deterred, I suppose, from the length of time that this is taking.
Well, Joyce, we are looking at all of the available options, and as I mentioned in answer to Brett's question, we did deprioritise this for a while, and that was a very conscious decision because certainly I felt and the board felt that we needed to concentrate on some other issues. We've now reinvigorated that, and as I mentioned, we want to get the right outcome for all of our stakeholders, and we want to do that as quickly as we can, but we've actually got to take the right amount of time also to do the work. So we're not putting a time frame on this, but as we indicated today, we are in discussions with a number of interested parties about the options that are available to us, and we'll continue to pursue those.
Does that mean you sort of prefer a trade sale as opposed to a sort of a spin-off of New Zealand or any other?
Well, we're looking at all the options that are available to us, and there's pluses and minuses for all of those options. We just have to weigh them up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is another follow-up from Andrew White from the Australian newspaper. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Mike. Another one on wealth protection. The reinsurance arrangements were put in place and an increase. At the moment, you seem to be getting the cost of those, but none of the benefits. And I'm just wondering, when do you expect to see the benefits of that reinsurance? And is there a lot in there that is still not covered by those reinsurance policies that will bob up in the years ahead?
Well, Andrew, it's a timing thing as much as anything else. So the way the arrangements worked, there was a certain cut-off date when the reinsurance became effective, and claims coming from actions that occurred prior to that date are not covered by those arrangements. So the further we get from the inception date, the more claims will be covered by reinsurance, if that makes any sense. We have called out today that we've seen a slowdown in terms of the notification of claims. That is the time between when the incident occurs and when the claim is actually made has lengthened, and it's that that's actually partially contributed to this. But as I said, as time goes by, more and more claims will fall into the reinsurance protections that we've got. And that's not to say that a number of claims weren't already covered by that in this last half. But the further we get away from the inception date of that reinsurance, the more claims will fall under that cover.
Yeah. OK. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time.
Thanks, operator. Well, if there are no further questions, thank you very much for joining us this morning. If you have anything further during the day, please contact our media team. Thank you and good morning.